shoulder and signaled me to follow him. We climbed back again to the peak of Igneous Rock where we had sat before. The rock shielded us from the cold wind. Don Juan broke the silence.
"It was a fine omen," he said. "How strange! It happened at the end of the day. You and I are so different. You are more a creature of the night. I prefer the young brilliancy of the morning. Or rather, the brilliancy of the morning sun seeks me. But it shies away from you. On the other hand, the dying sun bathed you. Its flames scorched you without burning you. How strange!"
"Why is it strange?"
"I've never seen it happen. The omen, when it happens, has always been in the realm of the young sun."
"Why is it that way, Don Juan?"
"This isn't the time to talk about it," he said cuttingly. "Knowledge is power. It takes a long time to harness enough power to even talk about it."
I tried to insist, but he changed the topic abruptly. He asked me about my progress in dreaming. I'd begun to dream about specific places, such as the school and the houses of a few friends.
"Were you at those places during the day or during the night?" he asked.
My dreams corresponded to the time of day when I ordinarily was accustomed to being at those places, in the school during the day, at my friends' houses at night. He suggested that I should try dreaming while I took a nap during the daytime, and find out if I could actually visualize the chosen place as it was at the time I was dreaming. If I were dreaming at night, my visions of the locale should be of nighttime. He said that what one experiences in dreaming has to be congruous with the time of day when dreaming was taking place. Otherwise, the visions one might have were not dreaming, but ordinary dreams.
"In order to help yourself, you should pick a specific object that belongs to the place you want to go, and focus your attention on it," he went on. "On this hilltop here, for instance, you now have a specific bush that you must observe until it has a place in your memory. You can come back here while dreaming, simply by recalling that bush, or by recalling this rock where we're sitting, or by recalling any other thing here. It's easier to travel in dreaming when you can focus on a place of power such as this one. But if you don't want to come here, you may use any other place. Perhaps the school where you go is a place of power for you. Use it. Focus your attention on any object there and then find it in dreaming. From the specific object you recall, you must go back to your hands and then to another object, and so on. But now, you must focus your attention on everything that exists on this hilltop, because this is the most important place in your life."
He looked at me as if judging the effect of his words.
"This is the place where you will die," he said in a soft voice.
I fidgeted nervously, changing sitting positions, and he smiled.
"I will have to come with you over and over to this hilltop," he said. "And then you'll have to come by yourself until you're saturated with it, until the hilltop is oozing you. You'll know the time when you're filled with it. This hilltop, as it is now, will then be the place of your last dance."
"What do you mean by my last dance, Don Juan?"
"This is the site of your last stand," he said. "You will die here, no matter where you are. Every warrior has a place to die, a place of his predilection which is soaked with unforgettable memories, where powerful events left their mark, a place where he's witnessed marvels, where secrets have been revealed to him, a place where he has stored his personal power. A warrior has the obligation to go back to that place of his predilection every time he taps power in order to store it there. He either goes there by means of walking or by means of dreaming. And finally, One day, when his time on earth is up, and he feels the tap of his death on his left shoulder, his spirit, which is always ready, flies to the place of his predilection, and there the warrior dances to his death. Every warrior has a specific form, a specific posture of power, which he develops throughout his life. It's a sort of dance, a movement that he does under the influence of his personal power. If a dying warrior has limited power, his dance is short. If his power is grandiose, his dance is magnificent. But regardless of whether his power is small or magnificent, death must stop to witness his last stand on earth. Death cannot overtake the warrior who is recounting the toil of his life for the last time until he has finished his dance. Don Juan's words made me shiver. The quietness, the twilight, the magnificent scenery, all seemed to have been placed there as props for the image of a warrior's last dance of power. "Can you teach me that dance, even though I'm not a warrior?" I asked. "Any man that hunts power has to learn that dance," he said. "Yet I cannot teach you now. Soon you may have a worthy opponent, and I'll show you then the first movement of power. You must add the other movements yourself as you go on living. Every new one must be obtained during a struggle of power. So properly speaking, the posture, the form of a warrior, is the story of his life, a dance that grows as he grows in personal power." Does death really stop to see a warrior dance? A warrior is only a man, a humble man. He can't change the designs of his death, but his impeccable spirit, which has stored power after stupendous hardships, can certainly hold his death for a moment long enough to let him rejoice for the last time in recalling his power. We may say that that is a gesture which death has with those who have an impeccable spirit. I experienced an overwhelming anxiety, and I talked just to alleviate it. I asked him if he had known warriors that had died, and in what way their last dance had affected their dying. "Cut it out," he said dryly. "Dying is a monumental affair. It's more than kicking your legs and becoming stiff." "Will I, too, dance to my death, Don Juan?"
"Certainly. You are hunting personal power even though you don't live like a warrior yet. Today the sun gave you an omen. Your best production in your life's work will be done towards the end of the day. Obviously you don't like the youthful brilliancy of early light. Journeying in the morning doesn't appeal to you. But your cup of tea is the dying sun, old, yellowish, and mellow. You don't like the heat. You like the glow. And thus you'll dance to your death here, on this hilltop, at the end of the day. And in your last dance, you will tell of your struggle, of the battles you have won, and of those you have lost. You will tell of your joys and bewilderments upon encountering personal power. Your dance will tell about the secrets and about the marvels you have stored, and your death will sit here and watch you. The dying sun will glow on you without burning, as it has done today. The wind will be soft and mellow, and your hilltop will tremble. As you reach the end of your dance, you'll look at the sun, for you'll never see it again in waking or in dreaming, and then your death will point to the south, to the vastness. 14. The Gate of Power. Saturday, April 8th, 1962. "Is death a personage, Don Juan?" I asked as I sat down on the porch. There was an air of bewilderment in Don Juan's look. He was holding a bag of groceries I'd brought him.
He carefully placed them on the ground and sat down in front of me. I felt encouraged and explained that I wanted to know if death was a person, or like a person, when it watched a warrior's last dance.
"What difference does it make?" Don Juan asked.
I told him that the image was fascinating to me, and I wanted to know how he had arrived at it, how he knew that that was so.
"It's all very simple," he said. "A man of knowledge knows that death is the last witness because he sees."
"Do you mean that you've witnessed a warrior's last dance yourself?"
"No, one can't be such a witness. Only death can do that. But I have seen my own death watching me, and I've danced to it as though I were dying. At the end of my dance, death didn't point in any direction, and my place of predilection didn't shiver, saying goodbye to me. So my time on Earth wasn't up yet, and I didn't die. When all that took place, I had limited power, and I didn't understand the designs of my own death. Thus, I believed I was dying."
"Was your death like a person?"
"You're a funny bird. You think you're going to understand by asking questions. I don't think you will, but who am I to say? Death is not like a person. It is rather a presence. But one may also choose to say that it is nothing, and yet it is everything. One will be right on every count. Death is whatever one wishes. I am at ease with people, so death is a person for me. I am also given to mysteries, so death has hollow eyes for me. I can look through them. They are like two windows, and yet they move like eyes move. And so I can say that death, with its hollow eyes, looks at a warrior while he dances for the last time on earth."
"But is that so only for you, Don Juan, or is it the same for other warriors?"
"It is the same for every warrior that has a dance of power, and yet it is not. Death witnesses a warrior's last dance, but the manner in which a warrior sees his death is a personal matter. It could be anything. A bird, a light, a person, a bush, a pebble, a piece of fog, or an unknown presence."
Don Juan's images of death disturbed me. I couldn't find adequate words to voice my questions, and I stammered. He stared at me, smiling, and coaxed me to speak up. I asked him if the manner in which a warrior saw his death depended on the way he'd been brought up. I used the Yuma and Yaqui Indians as examples. My own idea was that culture determined the way in which one would envision death.
"It doesn't matter how one was brought up," he said. "What determines the way one does anything is personal power. A man is only the sum of his personal power, and that sum determines how he lives and how he dies."
"What is personal power?"
"Personal power is a feeling," he said. "Something like being lucky. Or one may call it a mood. Personal power is something that one acquires regardless of one's origin. I've already told you that a warrior is a hunter of power and that I'm teaching you how to hunt and store it. The difficulty with you, which is the difficulty with all of us, is to be convinced. You need to believe that personal power can be used and that it is possible to store it. But you haven't been convinced so far."
I told him that he'd made his point and that I was as convinced as I would ever be. He laughed.
"That's not the type of conviction I'm talking about," he said.
He tapped my shoulder with two or three soft punches and added with a cackle,
"I don't need to be humored, you know."
I felt obliged to assure him that I was serious.
"I don't doubt it," he said. "But to be convinced means that you can act by yourself. It will still take you a great deal of effort to do that. Much more has to be done."